man, welcome back. All the smoke with this guy right here.
My guy. What episode is this?
We'll figure that shit out later.
Sometime.
We got one of the young, up-and-coming rising stars in the game, Jaylen Brown, man. Appreciate you coming through.
Appreciate y'all.
The young star, little bro.
Fresh off that new contract, man, huh? So year four, and you sign a $115 million deal. Tell me what that's like coming from a single-parent home to being pretty much financially stable for the rest of your life for you and your family. Tell me what that's like.
It's a blessing, for sure, just to be able to have that stability and stuff like that, just to be able to look my mom in the eyes and be like, we good. So that's a great feeling. But for me, I'm still just working. I'm just trying to keep going and building.
You got more $100 million contracts to sign off on. Anything you bought for your mom, for yourself, with that first big deal?
I got my mom a whip.
Of course.
To be honest, I didn't even get myself a whip yet. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to get.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I took care of mom's first. I ain't really got nothing too crazy for myself. To be honest, when I first got to the league, my first like little flex was like a piano. I got like a mini.
You play piano?
I know.
You just want to learn
it just
how.
Looked nice.
Nah, always wanted to learn.
Yeah.
But we couldn't afford piano lessons growing up. So
right.
my first little flex, like I didn't get a car. I got like a grand piano and put it in my house.
I mean, that's a different direction, but I mean, that's kind of what I'm learning about you. I'm a fan of your game, but I'm learning like you're kind of outside the box with things. You know what I mean? You're very into tech. I heard you want to learn several different languages. Where does your thirst for education come from?
I would say with the OG, my mom, my upbringing. You know, my mom, she had 2 degrees, but she was like the realest person I knew. Like she had to do both roles, but at the same time, she was in school. At the same time, like she worked jobs, she cleaned the house, she cooked, she did it all.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see somebody being a dope in multiple facets and multiple roles. So it told me that just because I do one thing don't mean I gotta be stuck in that box forever.
So your mom was your hero, it sounds like?
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of people don't understand like what you learn from your mother, like not having a father there. People don't understand how hard it is for a mother to play that role. You know what I mean? To keep us out of trouble when we wanna rebel and be men at a young age. Like it's really hard. So when we do make it, that's really our only goal, is to change our mom's life, because she paid, people don't know the dues and the stuff she went through for us to even be here, to even have a chance to make it to the NBA. So I totally feel you, because me and Matt had the same relationships with our mom. You know what I'm saying? Matt's dad was around, but my dad wasn't around. But so I know, you know, even though you got this money, it don't stop, because you have more things that you want to do, and that money just makes you hungrier.
Facts. And you can curse on this show?
Yeah, hell yeah. Fuck yeah. Fuck
hell
yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, my mom, she was the realest nigga I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, that's what's up.
Yeah, so it's great to be able to just do stuff for her and let her travel and have that freedom and see that happiness. Because I remember it was days she would come home from work. She's sitting in traffic in Atlanta, hour worth of traffic. She come home and like, is one shoe in front of the door, she just go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Dishes in the sink, she
go crazy.
So like, it's good to see her now. She's smiling, she kicked back, she traveled. So
no better feeling.
Yeah.
So y'all are off to a hot start. Tell me what it's like right now. I mean, because you guys got an early taste. Your second year, you guys go to the Eastern Finals. You guys are the talk of the league. You know, that's when definitely you was on my radar. I saw you, you know, me being from the Bay, I saw you at Cal, and I was just like, okay, this kid could play. So third pick. Come in your second year, you guys go right to the Eastern Conference Finals. Tell me what that's like.
It's great. It's a blessing. I know a lot of people don't get that privilege to be able to play, you know, that deep into the playoffs multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So I take that. I don't take that for granted. I just always want to keep working and stuff like that. But just finding ways to win in this league is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you can get a win, take it.
Right.
I've talked to vets that's been on different teams and people that's been in the league for a long time. It don't always go like that, so I try to listen and learn from these stories. So anytime we try to win, we try to take advantage of it.
So you guys are basically 24 minutes from going to the finals in your second season. Get Kyrie healthy, get Gordon healthy. You guys are expected on paper to be that team. And I know that personally had you. It looked like, it seemed like from the outside looking in, you kind of had to take a step back last year with the situation, and we didn't see the jump we thought we were going to see. Obviously, we see it this year, but walk us through that. What do you think what was the problem with that? Or
that was a tough transition for me. I was 21, mm-hmm. about to be 22 years old, going off, coming off of a great season in the playoffs, and it was kind of facilitated. It wasn't really facilitated, but it was like understanding that I was going to be, or the me guy. And Terry was the mm-hmm. one that was going to have to be the ones taking a step back. And we kind of really didn't understand that, like, why us mm-hmm. at all, you know, people, why, you know what I mean? But it worked out the way it worked out, and we don't want to look back on the past too much because mm-hmm. it is what it is, and we looking forward, but it was tough, for sure. You coming off of a great season, mm-hmm. you're young.
Huge.
And it was almost like they wanted to make it a bad thing that you wanted more.
Right. Like right,
make you look selfish.
Like these young guys, they don't understand, they selfish. I'm like, what are we supposed to want to do?
Right.
Like, we supposed to want to get better. We supposed to want to dominate. Take it to the next level. But they almost made it seem like that was a bad thing.
Like y'all mm-hmm. being counselors.
Yeah, like, so.
But it said a lot about you, for you to, as a young guy, to be able to take that and still perform. Like me, I know if somebody told me that at that age, I'm finna be in the funk. I ain't gonna wanna play. I'm gonna have an attitude. Like, you handled it like a pro at a young age. Like, I had to be around Tim Duncan and David Robinson to learn how to be a professional. For you to be able to take that at a young age like that, after the year you just had, that's a testament too. That says absolutely. A lot about you, because a lot of young guys that's put in that position at a young age early in their career, they don't last long.
No, I ain't gonna lie to you. It was tough.
Yeah.
Like, mentally. It caused a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, a lot of self-doubt.
Being a top pick.
I'm seeing other guys in the league that's in the positions, and they getting the... So it's hard not to compare yourself and just try to stay on your own lane, but it was tough. It caused mentally a lot of fortitude for me to be able to look myself in the mirror and be like, you know, I ain't gonna care what these people got to say. I'm going to just continue to go forward no matter what the situation is.
Talk to us about that anxiety, because that's something, you know, when we first came in the league, like, that mental health wasn't discussed. And, you know, you've been vocal with it. Kevin Love's been vocal with it. Other guys have been vocal with it. Putting that out, did you feel like that took a weight off your shoulders, or you had explain that to me.
It didn't take a weight off my shoulders, because I know that people still battle. It's a battle that still currently
daily,
is,
right?
is going on. It's daily. Everybody deals with it in some way, shape, or form. Like that voice that's telling you, "Not as good as you think you are, or what you're trying to do, or you're not worthy." You know, our kids are, you know, the younger generation, they deal with that on a daily basis. So mm-hmm. it's just I'm just using it as somebody that, you know, somebody of influence that goes through it, just so maybe they can feel a little bit more comfortable for it. But for me, I don't say it's like I overcame it or it's gone. It's just a daily battle. Like, it was tough, because when you get put into a situation with adversity, naturally you start to question yourself and your absolutely. Ability.
That's the first thing you do.
And your confidence, like, am I as good as I thought I was?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you start to question yourself, it's over. As soon as you start to not believe in yourself, you can kiss it goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they get in your head, you're going to kill, like, the self-doubt. It's going to kill you before anybody else can even touch you.
Right.
So for me, that's why I had a rough start to last year, because it took me a minute to kind of get out of that,
mm-hmm.
to kind of like, okay, remind myself of like what I bring to the table, remind myself of who I am, remind myself that I'm unique.
I'm Jaylen Brown, God damn it.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, certain people try to make you feel bad because
right.
you think different
mm-hmm.
or you are different, and they try to, you know, whatever, make it seem like that's a bad thing. I had to remind myself, like, everybody got their own unique qualities that they bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's beautiful with the world, because everybody think differently. But most of these people, they walk into everyday life and everything is the same.
Right.
You walk in, you leave the house, and you go act like somebody else.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I had to realize, like, you know, I'm me, and I'm going to walk out regardless. The door every single day and be me,
right.
regardless of what the Celtics got to say, regardless of what the Black Twitter, anybody. Got to say. Yeah.
Right.
I just had to do that, and that's what helped me really get up out of that.
How did you, so just really just being able to block all that stuff out? Because, I mean, people don't understand, the NBA is 90% mental. You mean, skill is, everyone in the league has skill, but it's your mental approach and how important your mental approach is to your, not only your game, but your day-to-day life. Because normally when you're not playing well, your off-the-court life is kind of dragging too, because, you know, you're here to do this. And like you said, there's social media, there's hecklers, there's haters. Like, how were you able at such a young age to block all that out? Did you have help, or is this something you just talked yourself through?
My grandpa, to be honest, he gave me a book and it really helped. It was like on astrology and stuff, and it kind of helped me like rediscover like who I was and stuff. But everybody has their own process and their own whatever. So for me, that was what helped me, you know, trying to like figure out like what I'm made of and like what I bring to the table. And that made me more confident in myself. So when I stepped out in front of people, it was nothing they could really tell me that would really bother me, because I was already knew what I was born with, what I came into this world with. So that helped me a lot, my grandpa and stuff like that. But everybody has, you know, their own process and things like that. But I challenge people to look themselves in the mirror and remind themselves how unique they are when they walk out. That's a beautiful part of the world. God made each and every one of us different with different qualities, right? So sometimes we forget, because we go into a world where everybody just want to be the same and listen to the same music, wear the same clothes, talk to the same girls, like all the same stuff.
Right.
Repeated.
Recycled.
Right. So I challenge more people to just be different, especially kids. I don't know who's going to be watching this.
Right.
But especially the young ones, you know, because they the next generation. They're going to be the ones paving the way. I challenge them, like, just be yourself.
It's hard as hell to look yourself in the mirror and hold yourself accountable. You can lie to everybody else, but you can't lie to yourself. You know what I'm saying? When you're able to look yourself in the mirror and be honest with yourself and not lie to yourself, it's easier to deal with the shit outside. It's totally easy, because you're not lying to yourself.
That's a fact. That is 100% fact. And that takes a lot to be able to do that. And like, I had to look myself in the mirror and be like, what can I do better? And how can I make the best?
Are you doing something wrong? You're not doing nothing. You wasn't doing nothing wrong. You know, you got drafted number three. Shit, I'm supposed to be a star on this team. I'm supposed to be playing.
You saw what I did this year. We take a huge step back.
I
really have to commend you. Like I said, at a young age, you had a lot, and I think it's only going to make you better in the long run. But the way you've handled it, and the way you've bounced back, and the way you're back playing this year, you know, you're back with that edge and that attack and dunking on motherfuckers and doing what you need to do.
He's a right legger too.
Oh yeah,
he jumped off the right leg too. We all right leg jumpers.
Stupid bounce.
Ugly as shit, but
What's the difference between, you guys, like I said, on paper, you guys were amazing last year, it just didn't work, between the energy last year in that locker room and the chemistry with the chemistry and energy this year with your guys' team?
It's a whole new team, whole new year, whole new vibe. Right? Everything changed. That's a part of the why I cut my hair. Just a new season, new vibe. Let everything in the past go. Just try to build for a new frontier. But the whole energy has changed. Like, last year was like kind of like everybody was competing. Like, we had a lot of dogs in that locker room that like felt like they was that guy. You know what I mean? And rightfully so. Like, I respect that, because it creates an environment. Like, our practices was crazy.
Oh yeah,
Terry
going at Kyrie.
Yeah,
me and Jason going at it. Like, it was crazy. Like, if people, from my perspective, because it was a good basketball environment from like people just trying to get better. But when it came to being five on the court, that's when it was difficult.
You guys were on islands. It almost looked like at times,
because you can't play everybody in the fourth quarter. Brad can't play everybody. We can't play everybody, you know, to start the game. So it was just like a lot of stuff that just drew traction between that and it was like shared. It should have been shared, you know, equally between, you know, players, front office, coaching staff, instead of just being like it was all the players' fault they couldn't figure it out. It should have been more of a conglomerate, because it was everything.
It's a team problem. It's an organizational problem. Yeah, it's not like just a player problem.
It was tough for Brad to be able to figure that out.
He handled it well, though. He handled it. He made it look easy.
From the outside looking in, you know what I mean?
A lot of respect for Brad. He handled it in the sense where he didn't, like, belittle nobody.
Yeah.
And other coaches might not have did that. Like, he didn't really strip my confidence completely and just say, like, you know what, this is not what you're going to do, and this is not what you're going to do. He kind of just let everything kind of, like, fizzle out. And so Brad, I feel like, did a great job last year. And I know he is talking about it because he's so focused on this year, and so am I, because we got a long season ahead of us. But sometimes it's good to acknowledge the past so we can just move forward.
Exactly. Right.
I was someone who said early on, when I saw your core, you, Kemba being new, and Marcus Smart playing on the USA team, regardless, it didn't really go the way you planned. I knew that experience in representing your country was going to carry over to this season with chemistry, with confidence. You got a chance to play with Kemba early. Tell me what that experience was like, and then having Kemba not only as a USA teammate, but now you're point guard.
It was great. Like when you outside the country, and you like you know you're away from your family, you're away from your friends, and it's just you and your teammates. You're gonna learn stuff about each other that some stuff you don't even want to know.
Right. Yeah. True.
It's stuff I'm learning about something I don't even want to know.
Right.
But you're gonna learn stuff about people, and it's gonna make you, you know, respect them more. It's gonna make you get closer to them. And it's going to make you build that chemistry that we needed going into the season. So we spent a lot of time with each other. Like in China, we was in China for about 3.5 weeks, playing video games, talking, playing cards, chopping it up. Like I know stuff about some of these guys that I had played with them for 3 years and didn't know.
Right? Yeah. Well, that's what we always say. You know what I mean? We had an amazing chemistry with that We Believe team, but it was because I think we fucked with each other so tough off the court and mm-hmm. got to know each other off the court and likes and dislikes and got to meet each other's families and really became friends and brothers off the court. And then all that obviously translates on the court. So you found that obviously to be the same?
Yeah, especially like we playing against, you know, teams that is coming for our head, like mm-hmm. like we playing against Serbia, we playing against, you know, Greece, we playing against teams, countries that
France
that don't really like the right. U.S. So like
nobody likes the U.S. Exactly. When it comes to basketball, because we've always been so good,
and you can feel it. Mm-hmm. So it make you come together. So it's like, man, we're not about to let these dudes. You know what I mean?
Weak ass motherfuckers.
Exactly, yeah. And everything happened for a reason. It didn't work out the way we wanted it to, and we still kind of deciphering what that reason is going to be, but. You know, I don't ever question his plan, so we'll see what comes of it.
How close are you with Tatum? You guys both being back-to-back third picks, coming to a historical franchise like the Celtics. Was he someone that you bonded with early on?
Yeah. Like, I think when me and Tatum came in, we had similar situations, but we kind of like polar opposites mm-hmm. in a sense. Like, Tatum is like, even in our game, like, I'm more aggressive, Tatum yeah. more laid
Finesse.
Back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and that's mm-hmm. kind of how our personalities is. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm more probably, he'll probably say I'm a little outside of the box, and he's probably a little bit more how cut and simple, just keep it simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we in a weird way, it kind of like
works.
Works. Because
you're different.
You know what I mean? Because we lack what each other has. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So in a weird way, we got like an understanding like of each other, a respect for each other. Our families is close. Like my brother, like babysit. Is like his son and stuff like that. We got mm-hmm.
right.
So we've been.
That's your light skinned brother.
Exactly. We different. We got different mindsets, but at the same time, like I think we respect each other.
Y'all can be great together for a long time yeah. too, bro. I think in the back of the mind, y'all know that too. If y'all can stay together for a long time, y'all can be Jordan and Pippen all over again.
That's dope. So what is it like? Tell me what it's like playing for a historical franchise like Boston.
Boston is a great city. Of course, definitely something that when I came into, I had no idea about. Like nobody in my family was a Celtics fan. Nobody was particularly fond of the Celtics when I got here.
You a country boy. You an Atlanta country boy.
You grew up, you grew up a Hawks fan?
I would say I grew up a Hawks fan and a Falcons. You know, I support okay. the hometown mm-hmm. city. I would say that. So like, but my family, like when I got there, nobody was there. People had. So, questions, you know, about Boston, the area, the people was like suspicious about how the people treat, you know, people
Blacks,
of color
mm-hmm. no question
and stuff yeah. like that. So it was a little bit, you know, people was a little bit indifferent. My family, they had ideas in their head about how Boston was, and as I've been there, I've seen some of those ideas mm-hmm. and I've seen how the city has progressed in the last 4 years and how eclectic it is. The city of Boston is outside cities are a little bit, you know, need some work for sure, because you see how like it's still like a little bit separate mm-hmm. outside, but the city of Boston, I think everybody comes together in the city mm-hmm. and works together, makes money together, watches the Celtics games and the Bruins and all that. Everybody come together like in the city, but outside the city it's a little bit different. But I've definitely been able to see like the city of Boston grow and been able to like be a part of it. I've been there for 4 years, so I'm part of the community now, you know, so it's not just, it's on me too, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out ways to bring the community together. I did a gala this year, you know, showing some love to places in the community that don't get the amount of love they deserve. So I'm trying to find ways to bring the community more and more together, because I've been there for 4 years and hopefully I'll be there for four more. So I'm trying to do something too to add, to be a part of the solution.
You used to the snow? You like comfortable with the snow yet?
I don't think I'm ever gonna get used to the snow.
Right, that slush.
Man, it be like, I remember my rookie year. We had a game. I opened the door and like literally the snow fell off the roof. I couldn't see out the door. So I'm thinking like, okay, cool, game canceled. I'm like, game canceled, we good. I'm about to go back to sleep. They was like, then Lynchy hit us like, make time to shovel out the snow to make sure you get to the game on time, leave an hour early. So I'm like, yo, I really got to play in this.
Yes, yes.
Had to leave an hour early for the game, so it took me 2 hours to get there. And then I had to shovel myself out of the snow, like literally.
You weren't used to that.
Nah, I was like, this ain't it. I was like, this ain't it, man. This ain't it.
You're someone that's big on social media and having your own platform, your own voice. You have your own YouTube channel to kind of give people a look at what you do. Talk to me a little bit about that.
For me, it was just trying to show people the human side. I think a lot of times they put athletes on a pedestal alongside with the mental health segment. Like, we humans too. Like, we, some are fathers, brothers, mm-hmm. Friends, et cetera. So just showing that side to people more. And in this generation, it's cool to be a part of it because you see how like that is changing. Like the whole shut up and dribble movement is changing. We got athletes who are rappers, mm-hmm. like damn good ones too. We got athletes who are, designers with clothes, like Russell Westbrook, politicians, mm-hmm. Harrison Barnes, mm-hmm. venture capitalists, VC, entrepreneurs sitting mm-hmm. right here. You know what I mean? We got, the game has changed. And I appreciate the OGs that came before to help change it. So it's on like the younger generation to keep taking it
right
to another level. So it's been cool to be a part of it in that change because I don't feel so stuck in the box as if I probably would have felt 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like if you try to do anything outside of basketball, people maybe would look at you crazy mm-hmm. 15 years ago. Now they might look at you crazy still, but now it's kind of like understood like, at basketball, it's more to it than just
the platform. It just opens doors to me. It just opened a lot of doors. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was to me. I played 14 years on a handful of different teams, but that was just the beginning. I was able to get into anywhere I wanted to get because of that. You know what I mean? So to be able to capitalize that off the next step, it's good that you're still young in the game and realizing that because, like you said, we didn't have it. When we first came in the league, okay, we were at the beginning of the social media mm-hmm. era. So I think it's great that you are capitalizing and having an understanding of how big your platform is and how many kids, like you said, kid, you seem like you're real big on educating the next generation, and to be able to understand that it is your job to carry the torch.
I feel like the world is changing. I think, in my opinion, the world is changing. I think some of the big social constructs we used to lean on is they finding ways to become smaller and more efficient. Because to be honest, it's a million different ways to make money. It's a million different ways to cut a chicken. And who would have thought, 10 years from now or 20 years from now or 20 years from then, that who would have thought that you can make money just sitting in front of a camera and just talking.
Right. Talking bullshit.
Yeah.
Talking
people,
shit.
Who would have thought, like, posting on Instagram, it's people making millions of dollars. It's people making M's just by posting on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Like, who would have thought?
There's a lot of ways to get it.
Like, it's crazy that's where the world is now because – like before, like suit and tie was like the considered like the format of how business, to be professional. Right. Now
you wouldn't be taken serious if you wasn't dressed in a suit and tie at one point.
Yeah, exactly. Now people got red, blue, yellow, green hair.
Yeah.
And just as intelligent tattoos.
Right. And we can go in any meeting.
Right.
Any office and talk to anybody and know what we talking about.
And pre-game, it's a new day. Smoke all before.
And light one up while we talking and still get the deal done.
Not all the time.
I can.
On this show one day, hopefully.
Hopefully. I can't wait.
You're real big in technology. Obviously, you spoke at the MIT Media Lab, the Harvard Business Education School.
Tell me what MIT, you got to, come on now, just stack
let
five.
Let him
MIT, y'all got to break all those little abbreviations and stuff down. We're talking about school now. This is not my strong suit. Break it down for me, please.
Massachusetts Institution of Technology.
Okay, there we go.
MIT, right there.
Serious. You didn't heard the MIT. You heard, you just never knew what it stood for?
I never knew what it stood for.
I'm not going to lie, neither did I.
And the institute,
it should sound good, though.
The only time I hear institute, I think institution. I don't want to be a debt. Straight up.
Hey, I'm dead.
But talk to me a little bit about, your fascination with tech and where that came from?
Technology is the world, man. Technology, I always try to be a part of it just to see where technology is going, to see how far it's came, and stuff like that, just being a part of it. So I try to stay tuned in to see what's coming up next. When I was at Cal, I met this dude, Eric Moore. He was a VC. He had his own venture capitalist firm. So, like, I knew I wanted to do something when I went out to Cal. That's why I put myself in that position. So I just kept hitting him up. And he was like, at first, he was like, nah, he didn't take me serious. And I just kept hitting him up. And he allowed me to come and do an intern at his VC firm. And he started showing me stuff and teaching me things that I didn't know previously about money, about how, you know, the rich people make money, and how the rich stay rich, and how some of these companies, you know, orchestrate and things like that. So I got to see at 18 or 19 a bunch of different companies that were being ran successfully, and some of them were the same age as me. Some of these people were 21, 22, dropped out of college, started their own company, was making $2-3 million in revenue, and nobody was batting an eye. Mm-hmm. But when I was coming out, it was a whole conversation. I remember, I don't want to call out the interviewer or the analyst or whatever, saying one and done was like a bad thing. So I looked at it the same as them.
Right.
Right.
Like, okay, I got an idea, right? My idea is I'm going to the league. My body is my company. Why is it a bad thing that I'm putting myself in a position to make a lot of money at an early age rather than staying in school, which is only going to perpetuate me going to work for somebody else.
Right.
Eventually, and having a bunch of student loan debts or whatever, or
Sally Mays
getting hurt or something. It's just a hamster wheel they try to put you on. So for me, when I got to see that, I really got to see how the world worked, and I really got to see how the similarities between, you know, companies and basketball and how the business of basketball start working.
I wish I had somebody like that when I was 18.
That's crazy, right? Set you on a whole new path.
I can't only want to tell you I was getting my info from at 18 and my advice from.
Who?
Oh, Lord. A dude named Spoonie G and a dude named John Johnson and Mike D and all of them.
What Spoonie G was talking about?
Man, Spoonie G was wearing Versace in 100-degree weather on the block. A pocket full of cash with Versace on. It's 110 degrees. I got all my advice from him.
You turned out fine, though.
Yeah, but you see what it was about.
Took you a minute, though.
1.7 grade average when I graduated. 1.7. I don't know how. They let me walk out of there. Oh, I graduated, man. Though, God damn it.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Old Kid for past taking my class.
Shout out to Spoonie G.
Spoonie G. Shout out to Spoonie G. You met Spoonie G.
I remember him.
You met Spoonie G in the playoffs.
Well, that's the one that was talking about Pac.
Tupac, yes.
That was one of the realest conversations I ever had in my life.
Spoonie G.
We was in Dallas, and he broke down what Pac meant by staring at the world through my rearview mirror.
And he said Pac was rooting for us, and we went and won that series. Shout out Spoonie G.
Pac must have been all Pac.
Shout out Spoonie G.
Shout out Spoonie G.
Shout out Spoonie G. How can advancing tech be helpful for the NBA?
I think it's been helpful for the NBA already. I think as you've seen, as a technology with TVs and cameras and social media, the game has become bigger. Like, it's reaching different places that normally, you know,
it wouldn't have
reached. It's global now. The game is everywhere. I've traveled places just off, you know, the merit of my brand through the NBA, and like people would be pulling up to like my hotel just to see me or shake my hand. So like, I'm in Egypt, I'm in places that you wouldn't even think, and there's people pulling up just because the brand of the NBA has gotten so big, right? So I think the technology, as it continues to enhance, as the NBA stays partnered with it, it's going to continue to make the game bigger and bigger.
You're a fashion guy too. Talk about that a little bit. You're a big fashion guy too.
Yeah, man. I've been at Fashion Week for the last 2 years, just really being a fly on the wall. I'll tell y'all a quick story. I ain't never told nobody this ever, right?
Come on, all the smoke, baby. Give it to us.
It's a quick story, right? So I'm at Fashion Week. I got invited to a few different shows my first year. I went to a lot, actually. I went to like 10. I went to Valentino. I went to Raf Simons. I went to Off-White. I went to a bunch of different shows. But the big one 2 years ago was what? The LV one with Virgil.
Yeah.
I didn't get invited to that one. Right. So I didn't get invited to that one, but I wasn't tripping. You know what I mean? I'm the second year in the league, and I ain't got my merit ain't like that.
Yeah.
I ain't got the clout. But I'm like, I can't miss that. It's been like, they ain't never had a person of color being a Louis V designer.
Yeah.
Ever. Virgil, like, this history.
Shout out Virgil.
So I'm like, I don't got no ticket, but I'm going to pull up and just see what's going to happen. Like, the least I could do is say I tried.
Right.
Right, that's the type of thing. I'm from Atlanta, so you know.
Yeah, we're going to try.
So I had photographers with me, and I had videographers, and I had managers with me and stuff like that. So I had like a little group of people with me. So I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, we're going to get in the car. We're going to pull up real fast, come to a stop real quick. Everybody jump out.
Make it look like the president pulling up.
Everybody jump out quick. When we jump out, everybody open the door, slam it open. The driver, you got to slam on the brakes. Everybody jump out, slam the door open. We're going to walk fast. No pitches, no pitches, no pitches. There we go. Keep walking.
Right through.
We're going to walk. So everybody like causing a commotion, all the people trying to take pictures, like, who is it? Da, 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 da. We get to the front. I said, when we get to the front, it's probably going to be a list.
Shit sound like Italian job.
Look, it's probably going to be a list. I thought the whole thing out. So I told my manager, I told her, I was like, we get to the mount. When they say they can't see me, they can't find my name on the list, I need you to go crazy.
Nice.
I didn't even think she was gonna be like ready for it. Like, I'm surprised, a little small. Like, I didn't even think she was gonna be ready for it. Like, when you see the list, just go crazy. Like, act like this is an outrage.
Did she sell it?
Yeah, she sold it better than I'm looking at her.
Sold
like,
it.
She surprised me. So we get to the list. It's like, we're not, this is crazy. He should be on this list, da 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 da. And they're like, okay, Lay, calm down, calm down, calm down.
They didn't want that scene.
Calm down, calm down, calm down. Just let him go in. And I end up going in, and I end up like sitting like right next to Kanye and Travis.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like, it's crazy, right? And I ended up meeting Diddy's sons in there. I just seen them and say, hey, what up? And just walked in with them from the jump.
Yeah.
And just finessed my whole way into
the act like you gotta act like, that's number one, you gotta act like you belong.
Yeah, that's
and you
it.
Act like
that's
you belong, it. You good.
Finesse my whole way. Look,
that's dope,
I'm sitting
though.
Right next to Kanye, Travis. I'm sitting dead across from Rihanna. When the show was over, Virgil came out and gave Kanye a hug. At the end, he was crying. And I was like, man, if I was in my right mind, I'd go out there.
It's just hug on him.
And get in the picture.
Join
get
in the hug. He said, get in.
Felt that moment.
And I felt it.
He said, get in the hug. Yeah.
Like Marvin Coates.
Hey.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
I felt it, man. It was a special moment,
that'd
man.
That'd be dope. Hey, but you from Atlanta.
That's I'm from Atlanta.
The home of finessers. You finessed your way in there.
Straight in there. Cooling it.
That's right.
And you've been good ever since.
Been cool ever since.
That's dope. If you weren't playing basketball, what would you be doing?
I don't know, man. I get that question a lot, to be honest. I don't know. Right now, I'm so locked in on ball, I can't even see nothing
Imagine,
else.
Huh?
Right now, I just feel good to just be able to play and play free.
Hobbies?
Hobbies? I got a lot of hobbies, man. What's one of them? I guess I like designing, so I'm starting my own brand soon. So it's
clothing
brand.
Okay, you gotta send some. Before Jack Beg,
well,
just send us some.
Don't stop. I was gonna do my begging later. I wasn't gonna. You gotta wait. You gotta give me. I gotta have a begging segment.
That's what we call it?
Yeah, and it's gonna have to be at the end.
Okay.
All right, go.
We're gonna save that.
Yeah, we're gonna do some exchanges.
Some exchanges, yeah, exactly. I got a little note that I wrote for you to send Tatum. You know the new Jordans game, but I got a little note.
All right, I got it. Yeah, I got a little sketchbook and I be drawing stuff out, putting stuff together. I love music. It's like a pastime. I'm not trying to be a rapper. I'm not trying to do nothing with it, but I love being in the studio listening to music. It's a good pastime.
You're going to start making beats or something, watch. You're going
to
start doing
something. I used to.
Yeah.
I'm retired now, though.
Already. Yeah, locked in.
I'm retired. Yeah. I put all my eggs in one basket, but I still like having hobbies and stuff to keep myself out of trouble.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned up to this point in your career? And you seem very mature for being a four-year pro, but what's the biggest lesson you've learned thus far?
Basketball-wise, confidence. Confidence
everything.
Is everything, bro.
People understood that, though. Because there's something, to me, you hear people say, oh, he can't play, the 13, 12. It's all about confidence because everybody could play. You know what I mean? So the second I saw something, when you don't believe in yourself, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
So confidence and being on that same page with the coach and knowing that the coach has confidence, you does wonders for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And because once they get into your head and they get into your mind, like I've seen a lot of people, you know, their spirit is broken and it's broken forever and don't find a way back from it. Like, and I felt like that was like where they was trying to send me. And I was like, that ain't gonna happen to me. So I had to remind myself to be confident in myself and find ways to find that extra confidence. And I was good.
To circle back, you get that from your mom. I know a lot of times when I didn't believe in myself, when I got cut from teams and I broke my foot, could nobody get me back to believing in myself but my mom.
Facts.
You know what I mean? And that's something she taught me as a youngster. So I know for you to be able to turn that switch on, your mom got something to do with that, because that's where we get all our confidence, our knowing, our right and wrongs, what to do or not. We get all that from my mama.
That's a fact.
I saw you working out with T-Mac. Is he someone that you modeled your game after? Who did you look up to coming into the NBA?
T-Mac.
That was it?
T-Mac was it.
Great person to look after.
Yeah,
look,
I loved his game, his crossover, step back, the head fake, the shot fake, everything, you know what I mean? T-Mac's game, like, that's the one. When I went outside, like, first it was like when I went outside, I was in the driveway, and you pretending like you somebody when you're a little kid.
It was T-Mac.
For me, it was always T-Mac. Then the next, it was Kobe. Then it was D-Wade and stuff like that. But T-Mac
was number one.
T-Mac was number one.
But think about that. Tatum's is Kobe. Mm-hmm. You mean his is T-Mac.
That's a hell of a...
Ooh. So what do you ask? I mean, you guys feel like obviously you have enough to win a championship this year. Is that's the goal, right? I mean, it's championship or bust, usually for franchises like the Celtics. I know you guys are taking a game at, you know, game at a time, but...
That, I mean, that's always the goal. I think every player, that's what they want to do at least one time in their career. For me, I'm just like, I'm not trying to put no expectations on this year. I'm just trying to hoop.
You like, know what the goal is.
Yeah, we know what the goal is, but I don't like the media want, most of the media and the Celtics media, they want you to get you to say, we're going to do this and do that. Nah, they got us in that last year. That's what kind of messed us up
derailed,
last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, derailed us because everybody got so much pressure on them. And to be honest, we don't need the pressure on this group. Like, we good. We got a lot of young players. We got a lot of talent. And we got, you know, a lot of people filling roles that need to be filled. And we got a lot of players playing well. Brad Wanamaker, Robert Williams, Javonte Green, Grant Williams, everybody, man. Carson Edwards, our young guys is playing phenomenal. Daniel Tease, Vincent Poirier. A lot of the young guys that you probably don't even know their names, but they've been helping us out and getting these wins.
Yeah, you just named about six I ain't heard of.
They've been helping us get these wins.
Who are the vocal leaders in that locker room?
The vocal ones?
Not having Al there. Al was that guy.
When Al spoke,
everybody listened.
Everybody
like
listened.
The chief.
Al was like,
you know,
the
it
chief.
Ain't no hot ad. Ain't no bullshit. You know what I'm saying? When he speak, it means something.
Facts. When Al spoke, it definitely meant something. For me, for sure. Like, if Al told me to do something, I'm doing it. Because, like, not only did what he said, he did what he always told us that he was doing. Like, he was that example. Like, he walked in his light. Like, Al seen him come to work every day. Work, and no matter what the situation was, he had the right attitude, the right mentality. Despite, so like, if I had to follow anybody's character, that's what I was leaning towards more than anybody, just because I've seen he was the example every single day of that. You know what I mean? It's hard to follow somebody if they're not as consistent, even though they might be a leader in a different merit, but they attitude inconsistent. You know what I mean? So Al was that person for me, no question.
He liked Tim Duncan. He had an even keel all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Off subject with basketball, are you in any shows? What are you watching right now?
Snowfall was the hottest thing out.
Man, please tell me. Drive, motherfucker!
Was that Samuel L. Jackson?
No, that was Franklin Saint. So every time you argue, every time you beef with him,
this
we lose.
Wanna be an
we,
actor
lose.
Then,
we lose.
So.
We lose.
I remember that scene.
You think I'm gonna blow all the shit that I built just because you don't like the way a nigga talk? Drive, motherfucker!
That was a killer scene.
Okay. That was a killer scene right there, boy.
Hey, you just killed that right there.
Hey,
he want to be an actor.
He got me. I'm coming.
He want to be. I'm gonna put him in one of my things. So we're gonna get him right.
I can't wait.
Okay, but that was good though.
I appreciate it.
For real.
I've seen that shit a million times. Now, man.
That scene was hard for sure.
That scene was hard.
Sometimes your homie, you can't necessarily talk to your homie like he told his homie, his best friend. Look, that's what it was.
What was solid? He held his boy down. When he went to talk to O'Barker?
Yeah, he didn't up.
He didn't embarrass him.
Facts.
But as soon as he got away from him, he had to check him for the betterment of the business.
For the
street shit, man. That street shit. You can take that and lose it in any business.
Facts.
Fuck they doing, man. Snowfall is the shit. I'm glad you said that. You got me hype. I done woke up.
Snowfall. Is there another season coming?
We almost done, bro.
You should have said Snowfall beginning. I'd have been jumping all around this motherfucker, man.
Is there another season coming?
It got to be. It got to be.
Right. When?
How it ended.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
and then, it went back.
Nobody put a date on it, though, did it?
Nobody put a date on it. But
it's good that we know Franklin Saint knew that the DA guy was working on him all this time.
The whole time.
I got a stomach.
You getting too excited? I ain't seen it yet. I'm looking for a new show to get on. That's wonderful.
Man, anything about selling dope and all that, I'm into it. Gangster shit, that's my lane. Ain't no secret.
But it was different. It was like how they infiltrated the hood with the dope. Like, right. We didn't have no planes, we had no guns.
None of that.
The government was dropping that. Mm-hmm.
They went to his school and found him.
Yeah.
They recruited him.
Why you recruit me? Shit.
That's crazy.
Like, that's nuts if you think about it.
They was using that to fund elections.
Everything.
Wars. All type of stuff illegally. You know what I mean? And they looking at us like we're
the problem.
A little kid from the street to Cali.
Because we doing drugs and we having violence in our neighborhood and it's a liquor store in this corner and we not supposed to drink. Or it's guns and crack and cocaine in the neighborhood and we ain't supposed to do nothing about it. We ain't put none of that. They came, it's official. They dropped it off. And Snowfall is a perfect show.
And got mad when we mastered it.
Yeah, and then we was selling it.
Man, we mastered the nigga. Bring me something. I'm going to cook it up and sell it better than you. Cut it.
You got to watch. You
got to
watch.
The flavor on it. Whatever you need me to do, I'm going to figure that.
Stack toy. You got to watch.
Hey, I'm telling you, I get excited about that shit.
You got to watch.
We're going to end on this. Throughout this interview, you've really talked about educating and about the next generation. If you could tell them one word, one sentence, what would it be to the youth of?
Oh, man. One sentence. That's hard, man. Stack, you want to go first on that one?
What's the question?
Just hear me? You were still thinking about Snowball?
I'm in character right now. I'm Franklin Saint. Like, I'm, you know, man boy. I'm thinking the whole movie right now. Why she had to do the crack? She had a good thing. All right.
So if you had to encourage the youth with one word. A sentence, what would that be?
Word or sentence?
Either one.
Nothing beats a failure but a try. You never know if you're going to succeed if you don't try. You're going to fuck up a little bit.
I like that.
Nothing beats a failure but a try.
Because I think we live in a day and age where people are scared to chase their dreams, so they want to talk shit about our dreams.
They're scared to fail.
Right.
Scared to fail. And I ain't going to lie, that's probably one of my biggest fears was always scared of failure, mm-hmm. like falling short. So that's something that's real. You know what I mean? In actuality, we good. You know
You're
what
good.
I mean? And if you believe in yourself, I actually got this quote from Marcus Smart. He was like, pressure come from... And when you don't know what you're doing, like if you put the work in, you put the time and the effort in, you should be confident in that and shouldn't question it. And failure wouldn't even be an option, you know? So that's one thing that I would agree on. Like it's a lot of young people that's scared of failure and they don't know how to necessarily go about it. They get nervous and some they resort to other things that they try to fill those gaps with. And sometimes it's not the best way.
And it's up to us to let them know that before they walk out that house, they have everything in them
they need
to be successful. Everything in them already. You know what I'm saying? And it's for us to use our platform to let the younger generation know that.
I agree.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, bro.
All right.
Appreciate you coming, boy. Appreciate it.
Already.
Yes, sir.
That's a wrap, man. All the smoke. Thank my guy, Jack. Jaylen Brown. You can find us on Showtime, YouTube, Basketball, or all platform streaming podcasts. We'll see y'all next time.
Peace.